So I just don't know.
Okie dokie.
So we're starting. It's the princess and or the priest recording.
Hello.
And that's Lisa Jane. We're in her vehicle. And doing whatever it is we do. See if it's picking up from it, right? It should be. Yeah. Okay. Anyway. I was just watching. I don't know how much Lisa was really paying attention to it. We were watching a Jordan Peterson podcasty sort of
interview with
God, what's his name?
Dennis Quaid.
Dennis Quaid! I am actually a fan of both the Quaid brothers, which I know is a horrible thing to me, because Randy is
off the charts.
Yeah, Randy is nuts. But you know what? I like him, and he's like Alex Jones' evil twin, but I like Alex Jones, too. You know, if anybody's going to know when everything is going to fall apart and who's to blame for it, Alex Jones is going to know. And will have predicted it happening. And you go, you know, I think Randy's that way, too. Although I haven't seen any Randy videos lately. Because I think he stopped doing them.
The last one I saw him in was
I think somebody banned him. Yeah?
Yeah, that was a long time ago.
So this one was with his brother, Dennis, which I don't think Dennis talks a lot about Randy at all. I'm trying to remember who's older. I think Randy's older than Dennis. I think Dennis is the younger of the two. Anyway, but it's always really interesting to hear from different people who act, because people have this whole thing, you know, actors are really an interesting bunch to begin with, honestly. And I think some of them have a real problem of separating themselves from the characters they have played. And then separating themselves from the fame that gets ginned up. And I think Dennis does a really good job of just saying, hey, this is just my job. And, you know.
I'm not really that person.
There is nothing about him for which he can claim fame. Yeah. It's just, you know.
Is this even recording?
Yeah.
Okay.
It's been going on for three minutes, 25 right. seconds. It's going. We're doing good.
You're working it. Okay.
Yeah, well, I'm having a good day. How about that?
Okay.
Oh, I tell you. So it's just really interesting to see a somewhat normal person going through life. And Jordan Peterson asked him how he avoided being blacklisted during all these times when, if you didn't follow the left-wing orthodoxy, you weren't going to get work.
Yeah.
But he still got work, you know? There were still things going on. I don't know if he's, you know, I haven't seen him in huge things, but to be honest, I don't know if they're doing a lot of huge things right now. Apparently, it just came off. It was mostly to do with the fact that there is a Reagan biography out there. And I guess the question is, I don't know if Oliver Stone did it. You know, it seems like it's one of those Oliver Stone treatments. And Dennis Quaid played Reagan. Which is interesting, you know, he said earlier on, the part that Lisa didn't see, that he said, you know, I don't feel like I was really well suited to play him. I don't think I look like him, particularly. You know?
But he does it a little bit.
Sort of. Reagan had kind of a small nose, and Dennis Quaid doesn't have a small nose anymore. He's getting a nose more like his brother.
Yeah.
It's bigger, you know? Anyway, so... And it's getting bigger as he gets older. I think that's a relatively common malady.
Oh yeah.
Is that your nose just gets bigger? But Reagan's didn't particularly. I think he always had kind of a, it was an okay nose, but yeah, it wasn't bulbous. Yeah. Anyway, so it's just interesting to see these people talk, and when they're talking. And you go, oh, they're just really self-deprecating. And you go, I think they almost need to be. Otherwise, people will think they're really pretentious. And it really helps if you're really not pretentious. You know? And he just says, you know, it's just my job. It's just what I do. And he was talking about that maybe he wasn't a very good father because of the time he had to spend away doing what he does, you know, make movies and such. And how that makes it so that he's maybe a little, I don't know if it's kinder is the right word, but a little more understanding of people that, you know, people say, oh, well, they're a bad father. And you go, you know what? Everybody can be accused. Every father's horrible. Every mother's an angel. And you're going,
oh, I don't know about that.
Neither one of those is true.
I've been accused of no angel.
Oh, yeah, that's true. It doesn't bother me because I know you. And I like you.
That's good.
Is Lisa kind of a hard-nosed mother? Yeah. Does she kind of take after her mom? And I know that's like the ultimate sinful accusation, right? Is that somebody, some girl behaves like her mother did when she swore she'd never do it. You go, well, you know.
I tried not to.
Yeah, but one still does it, you know. Am I kind of like my father? You go, yeah. I don't know how my mother feels about that, but that's life, you know. Boys tend to follow after their dads, and girls tend to follow their moms. They can make changes. They can behave differently. But when it gets to the end of the day, you look back at yourself and at them, and hopefully you're saying things like, you know what, my parents probably weren't as bad as I thought they should be, or like society saw them. And I'm not as good as I would like people to think. And somehow, we start looking a lot more like each other, just in a behavioral way. I know your mom was very opinionated about things, especially about what her children were doing.
Yeah.
It says Elise is too. And you go, yeah. And you go, she's, you know, was she that wonderful, sweet cookie baking mom? Since Lisa baked many cookies. I will say this. But
I don't bake cookies anymore.
That's true. For horrible, horrible, terrible reasons. Yes, that make for, at least for me, the world's a darker place. Lisa not being able to do this, or not finding enough joy in it to make it worth your
while. I've baked a few things that are gluten-free that I've done lately, but yeah, it's just not the same.
Right. The old days, I mean, Lisa likes sampling her work.
Oh, yeah.
And therefore, she wanted to make it good.
Right. yummy in my tummy.
Yeah. And let me tell you,
everybody else thought it was too.
As a beneficiary of it, I liked it a lot. And it's sad that that stage of our life got pulled out from under her.
Yeah, because I won't even be able to do this with my grandkids, you know. Because I can't eat it. And
you can't even be close to the stuff.
No.
It's just bizarre. It's like, good golly, Lisa, somebody screwed you up. And I mostly fault doctors. Had to go in and do some surgery, and I think they screwed her up. I think they screwed up her gut to the point where she just can't do this stuff anymore. And I don't know what else they did. I don't know if it was some sneaky thing or if it's because they neglected something. It doesn't matter. It is what it is, and it appears with all of my cajoling about it that it's not something we're going to be able to repair. And so it seems like it's a somewhat permanent screw up.
Until the resurrection.
Yeah, until the resurrection. Yay! See, there's some reason to look forward to. What comes after death? Not that we're looking forward to dying, but...
Well, I don't know about that.
I'm not trying to put it off either. I'm not pulling that whole John the Beloved stunt where I want to live until Christ comes again. Not really. Because there's several things I don't want to have to mess with anymore.
Yeah. I get that.
And speaking of pulling things out from under people, I've been seeing more and more articles. I tend to read a lot these days, and I won't go into the reasons why. But anyway, I've been reading a whole lot about, and it's mostly been men, although I can't say it's exclusive to men, women too, that, you know, they say, well, I just need to keep on working until, you know, I'm 70 or so at least, right? For just the...
trying to keep up with inflation.
Yeah. The financial reasons.
Yeah.
But they can't. It isn't that they don't want to. Everybody used to think, well, it's just these people. They just don't want to stop working. And you go, or you know, they all just want to quit their jobs and go out and fish or something. And you go, some do, and a reasonable number seem to be having to do it involuntarily, I guess is the right way to say it. Something will happen at their job, and they will lose their job, and when they try to find another job, they simply can't.
See,
because nobody will hire them.
Yeah, I'm kind of concerned about that.
I am too, because I'm not quite ready.
You're not stable. You don't stay in one place very long.
Ah, yeah. Well, here you go, guys. You get to have the greasy underbelly of the life of Jason.
Anna mentioned that she would never hire you because you hop, skipped, and jumped often.
Fine.
And last night on Bones, I heard the FBI talking about the same thing. He's got to have something up his sleeve. He's hiding something because he keeps jumping from job to job.
Hey, and I might very well be doing that. That might actually be true. I don't, you know, now, I'm in a field that just needs raw experience and needs a whole lot of it. And to a certain extent, they can't turn down offers because they've got to have people. And I'm sorry, loyalty is a two-way street. And it's like, hey, somebody else is willing to pay me more money. And it's like, yeah. And they go, so I jumped. And then when those guys say, we could have solved that. It's like, oh, yeah? Oh, yeah, could you? Why didn't you do that 6 months ago when I got hired?
Yeah.
Why didn't you offer me more so that I wouldn't be taking other jobs, because it's like, well, you know, it's closer to home. I'd be able to go home more, and I would make more money. Who in their right mind would turn down such a thing? Now, I didn't know what I was getting into, but that's normal for me. You know, they weren't being very straightforward, saying where exactly things were. You know, but I'm not going to fault them for that. It's nobody's problem for the circumstances I find myself in. But yeah, oh no, and I understand that too. That people say, you know, you just won't stay very long. And you go, that's fine. He says, I'm totally willing to take contract work. He says, you know, in fact, that's what I tell people. I said, I want to take contract. I want to come in. I want to do something. I want to get it done. And then I'll go on to the next contract. That doesn't bother me, except that it bothers Lisa. Because it's not terribly steady. Although the money's good. Anyway, I am looking at several things. Where are these guys headed?
I know, right?
That doesn't seem like the kind of road you want to go down if you're a
motorcycle.
With a touring bike. Those are like touring bikes. But if that's their place, that's their place. It's really the driveway.
Yeah.
So anyway. I'm sorry. Looking at two motorcycles getting off the road here in the Coy Valley. And it's like, boy, who are they and what are they up to? And regardless, anyway. Lisa tells the truth. She tells it straight. And that's what Lisa is. She's a person that'll tell you straight how she feels. She always tells me that she holds back a lot. It's like,
I do.
It's like, God, I guess I'm grateful. If Lisa really unloaded the way that she wanted to, I'm sure I would have my tail between my legs and curl up into a ball.
Yeah.
Which is probably why you do what you do. You're willing to put up with me. I would like to get one more job that would last me 5 years and get me to 62. I turn 57 tomorrow.
Yeah, baby.
It really hasn't snuck up on me, but it's here, and it's like, wow, time passes, and that's great. I want time to pass. I'm actually at that point where I really want time to pass so that I can get to my next stage of life, which doesn't include having to be employed by somebody else. But I also have to say that I'm working on something. I don't know how good I feel about trying to make money off of it. I might talk myself into not having a problem with making money off of it. But I'll feel free to talk about it. Oh, that's the last recording I made that I didn't change the title on. So it's going to be one of those Cohen Meanderer recordings that you guys can get at the archive.org site. Anyway, and I'll talk a little bit more about it just to kind of explain it to Lisa and to get her feedback on it. I've kind of mentioned it, I don't know if it's the right term, obliquely. I really haven't been too straightforward about it. But I've been doing planning, and it's like, well, Nemro, let me tell you, you're probably at the end of planning. It's time to start doing. I also don't want to do it during my normal working hours, even though I'm just stock bored. And I need something to do. Because if it becomes successful, I don't want it to be a problem. You know? I don't want somebody coming back and saying, well, he did all this work.
On our company time, so he owes us.
Yeah, so all that money needs to come to us. It's become that kind of a world. Anyway, it's kind of a game. Sort of. It's kind of a... As I've thought about it, it's kind of between a personality test and a game. And it's about this. Remember the board game with the big spinner in the middle, the big round spinner, the game of life. If I call it the game of life in a computer context, that means something else. It's Conway's game of life, and it's not like that at all. That's mostly about bacterial growth and stuff like that. People will think of it that way, but that's exactly how it functions.
Anyway,
but let's not get into that. This is about that game of life, you know. The little plastic cars, and you've got little plastic people that you put in the cars with little pegs.
Yeah.
And they go around the thing, and, you know, you decide if you're going to go to college or not, and stuff like that. And you land on a space, and it does nice things or it does nasty things. One or the other. And at the end of the day, I kind of forget what it's about. Is it mostly about the money? How much money you've made and how it goes at the end of the day? Is that how it is?
I think so. I think it's kind of like Monopoly. That person who has the most money at the end of the game is the winner.
Okay. Yeah.
You know.
That. Now, mine doesn't, because I try to inform this whole game with the whole thing of our ultimate rewards. I don't want to say, oh, it's all about exaltation, since that's just one of the choices. And that's one of the things that I want it to inform. I want people to play this game a lot. And as they play it, they start getting a sense for what things... Now, you know, is it going to be have the stamp of approval from the LDS Church? Well, gosh, no. Because it comes from my personal take on what I think it takes to get to one degree or another, you know? It has what you end up doing, and it's all through kind of an algorithm. You end up making about 152 choices. Now, you may die young, and therefore you're not going to end up making 152 choices. It's all time-based. It's like every couple of months you get kind of a status report about how you're doing, about things that have happened, events that have happened. And then you are presented with a situation upon which you need to choose what you're going to do. About every year or two, you get to make adjustments to your habits. You know, like, I don't want to go into all the intricacies of it particularly, and how things are measured, because it's mostly behind the scenes. The thing a player can really see kind of up at the top to kind of gauge how they're doing on some level, although it really doesn't have tons to do with your ultimate reward, is your life force. Or I'm probably going to give it a different name. But I try to make these tracked categories really broad and interesting. Anyway, a big one's life force, which just means that if your life force falls below zero, you're dead. You know? And so there will be people, and there are so many people today that are so worried about their health, and that seems to be their major preoccupation. I've got to go out, I've got to exercise, you know. They actually spend significant chunks of their thought and time and effort in simply being healthy. Me personally,
You don't feel that way, but does that skew the way the game is played?
No, but people who think along those lines will be looking at that life force progress bar, that thing up there, and if it's really long, they'll feel good, and if it's getting shorter, they're going to get nutty.
Like your telomeres.
Telomeres? I don't know what that is.
Oh.
What's a telomere?
It's these strands on your DNA, and when you're born, they're quite long, but as you age, they get shorter and shorter and shorter. If you live a healthy life, eating healthy foods, not junk food, processed food,
right,
they stay longer.
Ah.
And sometimes they've even, in studies, they've seen some growth.
Like yes. Get longer.
Yes, when they stop eating the junk food,
right,
the telomeres start to grow again.
Yeah.
But most people
don't do
all the stuff you're supposed to do. Stay active.
Whatever.
Nourish yourself with lots of water, because a lot of people don't drink water.
Sure.
You know, and
you can tell that Lisa's on the other side of this spectrum than I am.
Totally opposite.
She thinks
oh my gosh,
exaltation is probably gauged best by how much lettuce that you eat in any given period.
No, because, you know, I noticed
that everybody acts that way. I think God judges us by what we actually spend most of our time thinking and doing.
I eat a lot more salads in the spring and summer, and sometimes in the fall, but come wintertime, I don't eat salad at all.
That's fine. I just know that you aren't unique that way. I think that actually is kind of opposition to the plan of salvation on some level. It sounds good, and nobody's going to tell you not to be healthy.
But to be fixated
on it,
I'm not
is
fixated.
To drag. No, I'm not saying you are. I'm just saying that a lot of people are.
Yes.
Therefore, they will look up at that life force thing and they'll go, oh my gosh, boy, he really needs to get off the road. He was going right down the middle.
I know.
He had this road to himself.
Thank you.
Under normal circumstances, that would almost be true.
I'm glad I slowed down, because otherwise.
And I'm not trying to make an accusation to anybody.
I'm just saying my body is a gift from God, and I'm going to try to take care of it the best that I can.
Right, and I'm not saying that that's a bad thing to get obsessive about it, which is a big thing right now in human existence. I don't think any group of people in the past has ever been so fixated on health. You know, there is.
I promise I'm not a fanatic. Like, today, I plan on eating meat.
Oh my gosh.
You know?
You're going to burn. You're going to burn in hell, according to.
Tomorrow.
A third of the population.
I'm going to be eating meat.
Well, I'm glad. It's going to keep me happy. Anyway. Lisa's much more fixated on it than
But I'm not eating cake. I'm not going to make a cake. I decided I'm not going to do it.
That's okay, because I didn't ask you to do a cake.
I asked you if you wanted one. You said no. And I thought, I'm going to surprise him to have a cake anyway. And then I thought, you know what? No.
You can't. I wouldn't be like totally offended and scream at you. And,
but you know it'd be a gluten-free cake.
How can you
gluten-free and dairy-free?
How can you have in this situation something that's designed by nature to pull joy, suck joy out of life? But anyway, so
I have all these cake mixes that are going to expire.
I understand.
If I don't use them,
but. Now, if a kid make the gluten-free, maybe you can, I don't know. Sam wouldn't care. I have to stay away from carbs. Lisa has to stay away from gluten and dairy.
I fasted.
And that kills a lot of things. Sorry.
I fasted for 48 hours
because
I was just craving sugar.
Yeah. right.
And it didn't help that my tooth was hurting, and yeah. if I try to chew, it just makes it hurt worse.
Right.
Which is why I'm going to take some ibuprofen before I eat. Anyway, so I didn't eat for 48 hours.
Uh-huh.
That, the fact that, you know, I had that upset stomach and the diarrhea. And stuff. Right. Anyway, too much information. I know people.
No,
anyway.
Can I tell you?
And you know what? Yesterday?
It seems indicative. See, this is what Lisa's talking about and getting on to. And you're going, do you see that?
Yesterday?
This is something that would make a life force indicator.
But
rise.
Yesterday, I didn't crave the sugar yesterday.
See? I understand what you're saying.
So I think that's the key for me, that if I start craving sugar, I just
right.
need to stop eating, period, get that all out of my system,
right.
and then it's like my body resets, and then I can go on again.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
But I'm just saying that if I were to apply my 150-year-old rule...
But they didn't
...to
have...
it, that people would make you look funny. You would
sugar.
You would look like the person that looks in catalogs and buys the things that you shove up your anus that's supposed to help you because it's made out of copper and it's got bumps in this place and
that's
that place
nasty,
that's supposed
Jay.
To help with this stuff. Lisa, they would look at you the same way and say this person needs
sugar.
To get a life. It's like people, you know,
well, first of all,
sorry,
while you're thinking about that, first of all,
I'm wrong,
150 years ago, sugar wasn't as accessible as it is today.
Okay.
They put sugar in everything.
At least it's fine.
Okay.
It's fine.
And 150 years ago, there was processed food
uh-huh.
like there is today.
Uh-huh.
Anyway.
Lisa, you would still be seen as a kook.
But fasting has
everybody
always
would
been,
be seen as a kook now.
Fasting has always been part of different parts of religion.
Yes.
And, you know, if you go back far enough.
But you're not fasting for a religious purpose, which would be the only reason that they would choose to fast.
Yes. But.
You would look kooky.
If you look back at.
It's
I'm
like
not,
running for fun.
I'm not going to say. Caveman, but prehistoric maybe man. You know, he had to go out and look for food, right? And so there were days of feasting. There were days of feasting when they had food.
Yeah.
And then when it was gone, they had to go out and look for some more. And if you were fasting or in starvation mode, you know. And just wanted to curl up on a bed and go to sleep because you were just too weak. How were you ever going to be able to find your next meal?
Okay.
Where,
okay.
And when I'm fasting, I find that my mind is clearer and sharper than, like, after
whatever.
I've eaten a big meal, I
yeah.
just want to go lay down and take a nap. But after fasting, I'm wide awake.
I understand.
I have a bit more energy. And...
All
yeah.
I'm saying is that everybody thinks that ancient peoples were absolutely consumed by the
finding
absolute
the
need to find food.
Yeah,
and
because
you're
that's
going,
how you survive, Jay, is you eat for fuel.
Okay, let me tell you.
Okay, tell me.
I've read the Bible.
Yes.
And the Book of Mormon.
Yes.
And food is mentioned... On occasion.
Yes.
It is not a central preoccupation. In fact, it is so much not a central preoccupation that God made sure that he fed the children of Israel manna
yeah.
in the wilderness so they would not get bizarrely weird about food. I think we are the first... Large society.
Look at me.
The entire global thing. Oh no, I'm not saying that they were threatened.
They were
on a couple of occasions.
They were angry
with
that
not being
the bow
able.
Was broken.
That's an event. That's one thing. The entire thing the entire journey did not consist of never-ending that. Yeah. Or at least it wasn't important enough that they mentioned it every second or third page. It got mentioned once. Once their springs got funny, they couldn't hunt for food, and they were grumbly about it. I understand. I'm not saying that that's not real. I'm just saying, if it was such a central preoccupation, wouldn't it have figured more often? God is not a fertility God, particularly. It seems like when you follow God, food is not your central preoccupation. They had culture. Those guys went out and they had sex, can I be honest?
Every time he talks about praying, he talks about fasting, too.
Not every time, but he says it sometimes.
Pretty much.
He says it sometimes.
The majority of the time, when prayer is mentioned, fasting is mentioned.
That's fine for the religious purpose of it. Not for, I feel better. I'm this and that. And I didn't even want this to go in that direction, but
anyway,
it has.
I think you're thinking of everything.
No, it has not.
No?
No, it's still going.
Okay.
You're fine. Yeah, it's still going back there. That stupid thing in front's just
blocked. Anyway, so fine. You can change the...
I apologize. Because let me tell you...
We can just agree to disagree.
This is one of those things that will become a distraction. And I don't have a problem with it being a distraction to the game. No, it is an absolute distraction. I think people will lose a potential eternal reward for their analness about this stuff. I think it becomes a new god.
I think it becomes
the god of health.
I don't
and
my diet
good
like
living.
That. Like I said, like today, I'm eating meat.
Lisa?
What?
Go and talk to a vegan. Veganism is their god. I will never let meat touch my lips. Oh my gosh. If I even get... And they'll chastise you. I'm having a steak. Oh, you're a bad person. I'm sorry. That is your god. And let me tell you, God's got a problem with that. He does not like the competition in your life. To say something else is more important than he is. So, I'm sorry. I will disagree with you. I think, I'm not saying you are. You have to make that determination yourself. What I'm saying is, there is a large population, and it is growing in the first world especially. That these things are more important than anything else. Most people don't even believe in God. Most people wouldn't do what God said if somebody pointed a gun at them. But if you put a stake in front of them, they would start vomiting. And they would say, I can't touch that. I can't do that. It's evil. It's evil. Don't touch it. They don't believe in Satan, but they believe in the evil of red meat. So I'm sorry. Yeah. I will not be surprised that many people will play this game, look at that life force thing, and be anal about that. And I'm not here to stop them, except to say they're going to get confused because... Part of the game is the knowledge that there are better things to be pursued, and that staring at that, being anal about that, doesn't get them to that point very readily. It doesn't mean you can't have it. You know, it isn't really an indicator. To have a long and healthy life, it isn't it just doesn't matter. I apologize. If you treat your body horribly and you're destructive to it and you fall apart and stuff like that, yes, God is going to have a problem with that. that figures in. But, by and large, the life force doesn't matter, except that if you're trying to solve some other problems, if you've got some bad habits that you need to get rid of, and this thing gives you an opportunity every couple of years to say, okay, put more effort into this habit. The habits are all positive, or at least the terms I give them are all positive. Now, you may start very low, you know, for the whole thing of, what did I finally call the one that's tied to health? Because it's tied to other things, too, that are pretty allied to it. Anyway, the one that has to do with health, you can say, okay, I'm gonna try harder to do more. I'm gonna put some more effort into that. And sometimes it raises it a little, sometimes it raises it a lot. It's kind of like everything else, you know. You can say all day long, oh, I need to quit smoking. But some people don't have very good willpower, therefore it's really hard to do. Some people can just do it, and that's great.
Hey, fasting can be really hard to do, too.
That's fine. That's fine.
You got to have the right mindset. Or you can't do it. I've tried.
I think almost everybody can do it once a month for 24 hours.
Oh, yeah.
You're doing the whole thing of, Kind of a thing about, you know, if you can do it 72 hours, it's even better.
No.
If you can do it
108 hours.
Yeah, 108 hours. Ooh, man. You know.
No.
We've done studies, and you can go that far, and it's still good. If you go beyond that, it starts getting weird.
One time I did 72 hours, and I said, you know, that's a little too much. So.
Okay. Well, I guess, yeah. I guess you're not a zealot.
No.
And that might be good in this case. You don't want to be zealous about things that really don't matter that much. I'm not saying fasting is bad. Fasting for the purpose of getting something from God is very efficacious, and it's very good. Doing it for other reasons? Yeah, you can do it. It's not a horrible thing. Is it well studied? You go, yeah, maybe. You can always screw around with studies. You can always make something appear to be magnificent, but it's really not so much so. That's why I'm really kind of dubious of science, because, I'm sorry, that's one thing that the COVID-19 pandemic taught me, was that science is more about manipulating people than it is about anything else.
Like,
this is your. Yeah.
Matt's eye doctor.
There is less truth coming out.
He had his mask on, but it was below his nose.
What kind of point? What's the point of that?
Well, he had one of those plexiglass things over that, too.
It's like talking to a freaking automaton. You might as well do the telemedicine stuff.
Yeah.
You'll feel better about the fact that they're not coming at you as if you've got the plague. And apparently everybody's got the plague to these people now.
And it's like...
Was it the guy or was it the lady?
The guy.
I apologize if that's a rude way of referring to people. I don't get weird about that either. Except that this isn't, you gotta be nice, you gotta be nice to everybody. It's like, man, I don't think so. Anyway. I'm not out here to make everybody feel bad, but I'm not here to pat everybody on the head when they're acting like bozos. I don't care how much of a degree you've got. I don't care. I have a degree too. Not that that matters either. Except that I don't have a problem with saying, I think you're full of crap. I don't care what your doctorate, man. Circus work? I don't care. Whatever. Anyway. So, you have life force, and it does tell you something that might be useful to know, but it can also be a horrible distraction, which is like so many other things. If you start looking at any one or two particular measures and making them the thing that you kind of hang your hat on, don't be surprised if it comes back to nip you in the end for just being, you didn't take care of things that were as important, if not more important, for you being so worried about your hemoglobin level, or something like that, you know? And you go, oh yeah, your doctor will tell you all day long, these are the tests that I'm going to run every
your blood
6 months.
Your
yeah,
cholesterol.
I'm
going to
do this whole thing. And I'm going to harp on you and make you come back into my office as many times as I can talk you into it. And we'll keep just ragging on the numbers. And you're going, yeah. You know, and you're going, and you're paying a lot of money for that, even if you've got insurance. And it takes some of the bite out of it. You're going, dude, don't become that person that's fixated on that kind of stuff, because it will become your god. It'll dominate your life. And it's like, I'm sorry, I'm just not going to do it. You don't go to the doctor enough, and you go, no, I can already tell you, I go to the doctor too often. They go, well, it's been 5 years, and you go, yeah, I haven't made it 6 yet. I need to.
Works.
Yeah, I need to make that happen, baby. It's really easy. I just don't show up. Anyway. They don't call me. They don't know I exist. Thank goodness. Thank you, Father, for the fact that medical records are not doing that, and we don't have a government that makes your life miserable if you don't. Oh, they'd love to. Oh, they'd love to make that mandatory. Just like car insurance. The car insurance companies love the government because the government forces you to have insurance.
Yeah.
And they're just sitting there going, yes, I'm going to get rich. Well, something bad will happen to you. Maybe. Maybe not. Hard to say. But they still get to get rich. And then they get to play the whole game of, well, it was your fault, so now I'm going to double your premiums. And I'm not really going to fix your car because I don't think you're a safe driver, so we're going to stop you from doing this. It's like, oh my gosh, what have I done? And I'm paying you for this wonderful service you render to me. And if I don't pay you, I don't get to drive. Yeah, this is great, man. What a wonderful con. Well, government enforced is the best. Anyway. And then there will be another indicator that has to do with money, although money is exactly the same way.
You can't take it with you.
Well, you know, and it doesn't really matter, except that you have to spend some of it to accomplish some of the things you want to do.
Yeah.
If you're going to get married, there's going to be a certain cost to it.
What on earth?
Everybody's working projects. What's the story? The state must have lots of money at the moment. I'm glad it's done. Because it's like they're not making me stop and do stupid stuff. I like that. Thank you. Anyway, so. And then there is the measure of several other things. One of them I call cleaving, which is mostly your relationship with your spouse and how that's going and the choices that you make around whether you're putting your spouse ahead of other things. You know, and I'm certainly going to put some stuff in there to say that if you seem to be more concerned with your kids than with your spouse, that might look bad. Now, it isn't an overt thing. It's just that when the moment comes, you know, it goes through the whole thing. It goes through your whole life, and then you die. And then you you get cleaned up. It's just a thing that happens. It's just an event. And then you go to Resurrection and Judgment, which are kind of glommed together in my world. I know people are all about, oh, isn't Resurrection fantastic? And you go, yeah. I says, but you know what?
Train's coming.
It's like being bonked on your nose with a magic wand. Ta-da! You're resurrected. And you go, it just happens, you know. It's like toenails getting longer. It's like the sun rising in the morning. Christ made it that way. It isn't something you have to fret anymore. So much of the gospel is about what you should stop fretting about. Ooh, 301, that's a good price. That's better than San Jose. So maybe we should fill up here if we don't find better. We're in Muleshoe. No, Melrose. Pardon me.
Yeah.
Pardon me. Two M words. So, yeah. It's just about the fact that you don't now need to worry about death. Death is not a big deal. Death will happen, and it's not the end. And that's really the big thing to come from it. And you go, wow. We all still get anal about death, and you go, you don't trust Christ, do you? Well, what do you mean? That's rude to say. And you go, if you trusted Christ, you would know that death is not the huge, monstrous thing you make it out to be. Not only are you going to be alive again, but you're going to be alive on a whole other level that's just not even comparable to being alive down here. And you go, but you guys all act like, gosh, this is the big central thing. Oh, my gosh. Bring out the party favors. We're having a funeral. You know, it's like, oh, my gosh. The whining and the crying and the horrors of death. And, oh, my gosh, it's like a wolf that stalks me. It's like, oh, good gravy, get a grip. Not that big of a deal. But to keep working longer, is that a good thing? And you go, yeah. You don't want to just kill yourself. That's not good. You want to leave that in God's hands as much as you can. Give him the option. Don't force his hand. Don't be so morbidly obese that you're definitely going to die before you're 60 because you just can't behave like that and get away with it. That forces God's hand. He has to let you know. Even though he might say, God, there was still some stuff I could have had him do, but he was too busy stuffing his face or something. I you know, I'm not going to sit there and try to talk about whether it's okay, how many ribs he ate. You know, I don't know. Oh, I got to do this. This thing's
cutting into you.
Started tightening up, man.
Sorry.
Oh, just
I understand.
Seat belts are kind of a love-hate relationship. I don't love them. Anyway, so all this stuff tries to get informed by this algorithm. We try to simplify it as much as we can to make it about things that matter. And I already went over this in the other recording, so I'm not going to go over it here. I'll just refer you to it. Go over to Cohen Meanderer. I haven't named it yet, but I bet it's going to be named Webified Game of Life or something like that. Look for Game of Life in there, and you'll see the recording, and you can listen to that. And it goes into all of the things that I've come up with so far. And I really haven't added any in the last couple of days since the first time I sat down and started saying, what is this all about? What are the attributes of life that contribute to the judgment? So, you know, and this is all part of the game. It's like having the game of life. It doesn't stop death. It goes on until you get your reward. Ta-da! Now, I do it gold, silver, bronze, iron, clay, and what do they call that? Ventra black, the black that's so black that no light is reflected from it, which is actually a term. It's called Ventra black. And so those are the Those are the six grades, and I know you go, but that's not the three degrees of glory. And you go, yeah, you're right, although you can equate them to it rather readily.
The black hole fluctuates.
Yeah, yeah, from which God does never has to see you and never really has to give you a thought, because you are that far from him. Ta-da. Anyway, the first three are the shinies, and they go to, and it also has a reference to, you know, Daniel saw that statue in his dream.
Yeah.
You know, and the stone cut out of the mountain without hands. Anyway, and that also equates to these, at least the five things. The sixth is just added on because there's got to be a place to send people that are just incorrigible. You just can't have them anywhere around any people at all. They're horrible. They can just spend their whole lives abusing each other. They don't have to abuse anybody else anymore. Okay. But yeah, you know, the first three are the shinies, gold, silver, and bronze. Those are the three levels of the celestial kingdom. Then there's the terrestrial kingdom, which is iron. Then there is a telestial kingdom, which is clay. I know it's clay mixed with iron. I know. You guys don't have to correct me. I just dropped off the iron plus clay because it doesn't really matter. That was more of a symbolism for, I think, something else, for the Roman Empire. The lack of anything else to see. Or no, the things that came after the Roman Empire. The really sad part is, if you take that particular imagery seriously, everything since the Roman Empire is a corruption of it. Or the Roman Republic. It says, and we're living in an actual Roman corruption. It isn't as good as Rome was, which isn't as good as, I forget which one was the top one. Was that the king of Assyria, Nebuchadnezzar? Wasn't this thing shown to him? And they said, King, you are the gold head. And you're going, the absolute top of worldly wonderfulness, or however you want to gauge this, and that we are at the absolute bottom. The fact that we have the gospel in our lives and stuff like that doesn't make up for the larger culture's continuing decline from Jesus' time was at a higher phase than we are, to a certain extent. We are just an admixture of what Rome was with dirt, slime, soil, feces, whatever. However you want to look at what gets mixed with that iron to make the feet of that statue. Regardless, okay. So that's where that ends up. And so people will go through this process, and they will make their 152 choices. And if you say, how did you arrive at 152? And you go, it's algorithmic. I would tell you how it gets there, but it's just written down in my thing. And it just happens to be a very interesting number. Because that's how many choices, if you get to live to the age of 70 in this game. It starts at 18. You know, once you're free of your family, it presupposes that you have been authoritatively baptized, so you don't have to worry about that as a choice. One of the choices that you will definitely be presented with on a regular basis until you either do it or nobody's interested in you anymore is marriage. And we're not going to play with the whole other side of, well, what about gay marriage? What about this? What about that? It's like, no, it's just marriage. you know, appropriate marriage. Sorry. Ooh, my rude, I'm rude. And it'll give you just a whole, that string of choices. There will be a whole lot of things that will be random, kind of like spinning that spinner. And it says, okay, go forward eight places. And you go forward eight places, and then you see what happens. There is much of the game that is randomized that way. For just life events that happen to you, good or bad, you get hit by a car, your life force goes down quite a bit, you know, and it may never be able to rise back up because you may be permanently damaged. I don't know, you know, that's random too, is stuff like that. Anyway, but these choices really have to say have to do with what we would say in Latter-day Saint parlance, the things you have control over. These are the things that the Lord is most concerned with, right? Are the choices that we make. No matter what kind of problems we have when we come into this world, at 18, if you've got amazing willpower, if you've got... What are some things? I don't even remember what all the criteria is. It's written down. I don't have to remember it. You know, it's about the choices that you make, the conscious choices that you make. Sometimes it's obvious there's a good thing and a bad thing to do. Sometimes it seems like that it doesn't make any difference, or... And people can experiment by playing this game again to say, well, if this thing comes up again, I think I'll answer it this other way and see what kind of changes it makes. Of course, over a lifetime, it's hard to isolate whether one choice was good or bad. And that's fine, because that also works in a game. You can make a reasonable amount of bad choices, and it gets made up for at some point. Everything goes okay, and that's all figured in here. And it's just about, it really ends up being a teaching game in that you start saying, you know what, if I make those kinds of choices in life, I'll do okay. And then it will be kind of confusing because they'll go, wait a minute, I made all the right choices according to how I think some religious zealot would tell me to do things. And I didn't end up getting the gold. And you go, well, then maybe you got the wrong, maybe you're not worried about the right things. Maybe it's not about those individual choices as much as it is about the habits you're trying to make up for. And the problem is, you don't know, except that it actually comes out, it starts becoming apparent when you see what kind of events happen to you, you know. When you start going to the hospital a whole lot for different things, you start noticing stuff about yourself. And you go, well, I'm going to make sure that in my own life, I'm going to try to avoid such things. I'm not trying to say it's sneaky, but it keeps trying to draw you in by it being difficult to win easily. People don't play checkers much because it's too easy, or tic-tac-toe, too easy.
Tic-tac-toe, most of the time you never win.
Yeah, if both people are anywhere near not stupid, there's going to be a draw most of the time.
Yeah.
And then it's a very boring game. This is a game where, you know, there's a little bit of strategy to it, but really not much. It really actually ends up having much more to do with where your focus is. You're pouring yourself into faith in God. Like one choice you can make is you get an impression to do something. Do you want to do that, or do you want to do this instead? And then you can make your choice. Now, depending on how on the choices that you make is how much prompting you get. If you tend not to listen to promptings, they come less and less, to the point to where you really don't get prompted at all. If you tend to listen to promptings and do what the promptings tell you to do, then you'll tend to get more promptings, and it will tend to get you there. And one of the kind of hidden measures rises, the one called faith. The fact that you're having faith in stuff that comes down from God, you know. And do we trick you sometimes? Yeah. We have preachers come and give you advice. And you can say, well, if I have faith in God, then I'll listen to his preachers. And you go, no. it's promptings from the Holy Spirit. But we don't say that overtly. You know. And I tell them, I says, you know what? It would help if you read your Bible. And I'll suggest the Book of Mormon, too. The Book of Mormon is a wonderful source for this, too. And probably several other religious texts will probably help you very much along the way as you play this game to see what you would do. So if you think, well, I know how to play this game because I know what some goody-two-shoes churchy person would do in this situation. And you're going, maybe you do and maybe you don't. And maybe those people aren't the right people to be following. Read the manual, and then you'll be going, there's people who read the Bible because they want to be successful at this weird computer game that Nemro puts out on the web. Isn't that weird? And you go, they're trying to figure out how to make this game. This is the manual for it. And you go, you put enough questions in, you put enough of a pool of different choices that people can make to make it interesting every time you go. It's like, I've never had this question before. And I'll keep adding to it because, you know, I'm
so it's not
kind of a relentless jerk.
Questions.
Oh, no. It's not just 115 questions that you will always see every iteration. Not even close. I would say there's going to be thousands of questions. And every time you play, you'll say, oh my gosh, I can't believe I actually got the question twice in the last year. But it needs to be compelling. You need to keep coming back. That's why I say there is a switch you can pull on this, and it feels more like a personality test. And at the end of the day, it'll show you how you did on each one of these things based on the choices that you made. How'd you do on health? How'd you do on faith? How did you do on responsibilities? One of them. How'd you do on parenting? You know? This is, and you could go.
But what if you suck at parenting?
It isn't a question of sucking at anything. It's a question of what your habits are. Do you have a habit of parenting? Do you tend to parent, or do you tend to do something else? If you're low at it, you don't tend to parent much. You know, if you do have kids, you'll leave them to themselves, and they'll go off, and they'll just do whatever.
That's kind of scary, because I kind of did that once my kids got a little bit older.
Well, that's, I don't have, see, you're kind of skewing guy there, because that's what guys tend to do.
I just remember growing up, and my parents would say, go outside and play, and they would lock the door. You couldn't get back in. If you were thirsty, you drink out of the hose pipe. If you needed to go to the bathroom, you went behind the shed.
Yeah. And that's why I said, you know what? Your parenting style reflects strongly the parenting style of your parents.
But I didn't whether you like it or not. But I didn't lock my doors. They'd be coming.
That was one thing at least Lisa didn't do. You didn't feel abandoned.
No.
Mom was there, and you could ask her questions, but she wasn't going to interfere too much in what you were doing.
And, I mean, she would feed us lunch.
Sure.
But.
I understand. No, like I'm saying, I'm not saying your mom or your dad were bad parents. I don't know.
Hey, the whole neighborhood was that way.
Right. The whole thing about that parenting measure is just how it really is. Do you have a habit toward it? Being at the bottom of that scale is bad. Being at the top of that scale is bad. Finding someplace in the middle is usually good for that one. So I'm not saying all the scales are like that. Faith, it's never bad to try to top that one off. It's never a bad thing. Being on the low end of faith is bad, because then God says, why should I trust you? I've given you advice, I've said things to you to do, and then you just ignore me. Why would I want you around afterwards? You know, it all really has to do with who gets to be the closest to God. Because that is one way you can look at after judgment, is how close do you get to be to God and his influence? How interesting is it to you? Do you even want it? If you don't want it, chances are you're not going to put forth the effort to get there. And that's why people say, you'll go to the glory, to the reward that suits you best. And you go, yeah, if you don't want to be around God and learn what God does and what God knows and all that stuff, you're not going to put forth the effort to impress him. And therefore, he's just going to say, nah, go over yonder there. I don't ever go over there. You don't have to worry about dealing with me. If you feel overcome by feelings how do people say it? A whole lot of people say it. In relation to God and to churches and stuff like that down here. I can't believe it's not coming to me.
You mean all the just?
No.
Just?
No. Starts with a G. Grief. It's not grief. It's guilt. I feel guilt. And you go, great. You don't want to feel guilt? Then you don't want to be around God. You'll go to one of the other places where God doesn't go. How about that? Ta-da! You'll never have to see
him. Okay, well, I don't know if somebody wants to listen to over an hour or something.
I apologize.
I didn't know if you wanted to end here.
I can end here. People can end whenever they want to. You guys don't have to stick around due to some weird loyalty to me. Heck, I don't for sure. If I'm watching a YouTube video and I'm not interested in it anymore, I end it and go watch another one. And it's like, oh, you never complete anything, do you, Debra? And you go, well, some things aren't really worth the effort, even if it's just a 15-minute video. I'll stop it at 10 if it's like, I got what I needed. No. You're going to miss something important. That maybe. I apologize. So you need this to stop.
I'm just saying.
Lisa's tired of hearing it, guys. What do you think, LJ?
Yeah, I need a
There it is. Okay, then.
Well, I listened to you 2 hours this morning.
The only solace I take is that I get, from Scripture, I get the impression that God always has something to say. And he's willing to say it to people who want to listen. And I think this is backed up by Scripture. So, and I'm the same way. Wow. So, yes, okay. I think I've burned out Lisa Jane, who I love with all my heart.
And I love you right back, honey.
And she's so wonderful. All right. Everybody have a wonderful day. We'll talk to you later. Are you going to say bye?
Bye.
There it is. Okay, here we go. Bye-bye.